Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will define the name.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to the next edition of the Roadie Roundtable presented by Lakeside Players. My name is Norgi.
And I'm Alex.
And we would like to welcome some guests today that are here on behalf of the cast and crew of Seussical the Musical, which opens here at the Roadie on Friday the 26th and runs through Sunday, May 5th. Actually, this isn't any... Well, we have some crew here because there's people that are pulling double duty. So
yeah.
We have... I don't want to say your last names, so I'm going to say Abby, Jordan, Emma, and Molly, and they are the
Bird Girls and Gertrude.
So if you could, ladies, tell us a little bit about yourselves as far as theater and how you got to be involved here at the Roadie, and then also your involvement with Seussical.
Why don't we start with Abby?
Oh, hi. I'm Abby, as I've been introduced. I started at the Roadie a little over a year ago with the Addams Family, and I started because my friend Jenna, I met her at Miss Wisconsin, and she said, my friend is directing the show, you should be in it. And I was like, okay. So I drive 40 minutes from Greendale every day to be here at the Roadie, and it's so much fun, and my people are here.
Yeah, you still drive 40 minutes every day?
I sure do.
Oh my Lord, that's dedication.
That's,
Emma?
That's theater for you, man.
Yeah.
Well, my name is Emma. I started about a year ago with Beauty and the Beast. I was the bookseller and in ensemble. Beauty and the Beast has always been a huge part of my life. So as soon as I heard that they were doing it here, I knew I had to be involved. And then it turns out that I love this theater and all of the people involved. So I just keep coming back. My last show was Blithe Spirit. I was Madame Arcadi, which is my favorite role that I've ever done.
It was a lot of fun to watch.
And now I'm here for Seussical, and I'm excited to be on stage with all of my friends.
Yeah, me too. Jordan?
My name is Jordan, and I am the longest standing Roadie member at this table right now. I've been at the Roadie for 13 years. I started in, well, actually it's more like 14 now. I started in 2010 with Annie. I've been doing theater since I was 10, so I've been doing theater since, well, it is, I don't know, I'm 28 now, so whatever that math is, 18 years.
Yeah.
Pause for calculations.
Right.
And this is my first, well, this isn't the first time on stage, but this is my first time on stage since Miracle on 34th Street back in like 2018 or something, so.
And this is my first time on stage with you ever, aside from, you know, singing at karaoke's, but that doesn't really count. Sometimes there were stages.
You just say karaoke with an S, karaoke's.
Yeah, because we went to multiple. I think, we're English majors.
I think that's like deer, or, you know, just deer.
Deers.
You really
deers
just is. Don't have to worry about it. We're all English majors.
Okay. Yeah.
English majors is a deep cut.
Yeah. Molly?
I started at Addams Family with Abby, and yeah, I used to live in Illinois, and then I accidentally joined theater, and then, well, I did theater before this, but then I accidentally joined, and, like, I just loved it here, and I just met the best people I've ever met in my life in this theater, and...
How did you accidentally join? Were you walking down the street and somebody came out with a hook? No, like,
I mean, like, I accidentally really enjoyed being here. And then I was like, well.
Whoops, I just did a show-stopping number spontaneously.
I tripped on the curb and landed in the theater.
I tripped and I ended up being kind of okay to it. What the heck? But Yeah, I live here, so I'm like, my whole life right now is just being like, okay, and then when's the next show? How am I gonna fit this in my schedule? Because it's so nice here, and it's just so nice, and so I'm so excited for Seussical, because Seussical was the first show I ever did when I was like in kindergarten or first grade, and so it's so fun to do it again, and then just be conscious for it, you know?
Yeah.
So, because it's just such a nice show.
Who were you back then?
I was a who.
Oh.
I was a who, and...
You were a what?
I was a what? I was a who, and a what, and a why.
Yeah.
And a how.
And a hunch.
And a hunch.
So, for all of you here, other than you, Molly, everyone else, this is your first time being in Seussical, correct?
No.
It's my first time.
It's your first time, and it's not Abby's first time. Is it your first time, Jordan?
Yes.
Okay. The suspense. Abby, tell us about your previous Seussical.
Yeah. I've been in Seussical. This is my third time now. Once was in middle school. We did Seussical Junior, and I was Yertle the Turtle and Vlad Vladikoff and a jellyfish because I had the squid hat from Six Flags Great America. And then in high school, we did Seussical again as like our fundraiser show, and I was a who.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And Emma, you said this is your first time?
Yes, it is my first time in the show, but it is also one of the first shows that I ever saw live, so it's got a very special place in my heart.
And, oh, nice. And I mean, obviously, full disclosure, Alex, as you know, you're the co-host of this podcast, but also you are in the production. Is this your first time doing Seussical?
It is. So I am currently playing Horton in this. So Gertrude, played by Molly, is my maybe love interest. She certainly loves me. I love flowers that talk. But
that
notice.
Old story, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's par for the course for me. I had only ever watched Seussical once, I think, around Beauty and the Beast when Seussical first came up as an option for this season. And somebody came up to me and said, oh my God, you would make a great Horton. And I was like, well, I guess I better watch this show if I'm going to go for Horton. And I watched it and I was like, that was cute. And then when auditions came up, I was like, oh God, I better watch the show again. And now I'm noticing so much more in it that I didn't notice the first time. And I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's a wild, wacky tornado of color that is just, that's my favorite part so far.
It's
just,
Seuss. I mean, that's to be expected.
Yeah. I will say, rhyming lines you would think would be so easy to memorize, they are not. It's Seuss words a lot of the time. So it's like a lot, and they're really fast, and it's almost like I'm having to rap, and I'm tongue-tied, so Horton is going to have a speech impediment, I think.
Well, and they're like made-up sounding words, too. They sound like they're from a generator.
Yeah, yeah.
A chat GPT.
Mm-hmm. Like an AI was writing a children's book.
So, I will say that last season or the end of last season when this show was announced, there was a lot of excitement and buzz around doing the show because a lot of people were circling the idea of doing this show. Were all of you part of the group that were like really excited and said, I'm auditioning for the show like a year ahead of time? Or was this something like as this current season progressed that you were jumping on board if you could?
Well, this is also my third time doing it. And the second time I was a bird girl and I loved Gertrude's role. So when I saw that it was on the season, I freaked out. And then I only listened to Seussical for a really long time and my Spotify's all messed up. So I did but anyway, cause whatever. But I just don't want it on my Wrapped. But I'm so excited because Gertrude is the only role I've ever wanted to play in, I think, almost anything. Because after this, I'm like, I mean, I'm an audition, but I'm happy with anything. I was so excited when this was announced. I'm just so excited to be in it. It makes me jittery.
And I've said to you several times now through this process that I've listened to the Broadway track so many times and I like your Gertrude so much more. You have this really fun way of singing where you're putting different personality traits on multiple words, and then you are able to slide into really pretty singing and then go back into this weird, like, chaotic singing, like talk singing. It's so funny, and it's so you. It's so perfect for Gertrude.
Thank you. I feel like I resonate a lot of Gertrude because she's very weird and I'm quite weird and I just...
You?
I know, me? I would never have guessed. But I just, it's just so fun and she's just such a fun character and the music, I love the music and I love our song. It makes me, I love it.
I love it too.
Obviously, with it being Seuss, and Alex, you mentioned before that it's like a splash of different colors. And Abby, I think I've seen you working on costumes, and I don't know who else is working on costumes, but can you guys talk about the different costumes that you have to wear? Because I imagine there's probably a lot of very crazy sort of Seuss-esque costumes. So are there a lot of costume changes? How difficult are the costumes and what has gone into that process?
And to add to it, Abby is our costume designer for the show.
I immediately volunteered the day after the cast list came out and I said, hey, I want to jump on these costumes. I helped costume Seuss School when I was in high school. So I was like, oh, this is perfect.
Nice.
But I think we had different visions at first. Katie wanted to go very like traditional Seuss with people dressed up as like jungle animals in their actual jungle costumes. And since we've started the journey of costume design, it's shifted a little bit. Our jungle creatures are going to be wearing like black and brown 70s print. And the Wickersham brothers are going to look like 50s greasers. And our bird girls are still like that colorful, chaotic feathers everywhere.
Sure.
Yeah, the Whos are very like pastel 50s. So there's a lot of different eras being embraced in this show. And I think, again, it just adds to like the chaotic colorfulness of what Dr. Seuss is, mm-hmm. which has been really fun.
I saw some pictures on social media for I think it was an event, but Alex, you were in the picture. You may have been in the picture, but you were wearing what looked like Seuss costumes. Is that essentially what you guys are going to be wearing in the show? Or was that just sort of like a demo or like a costume test type thing?
Both.
Yeah.
Horton didn't have a costume until that morning, but it looks cute. The vest is like a corset. He feels very comfortable.
I feel so snatched.
And everything just worked out so cool. So I was like, oh, this is nice to see what it looks like here, but it's also going to be incredible to see it on stage.
Yeah.
Jordan, you mentioned at the outset that you are the longest standing volunteer member here, and you are in fact sitting, but I think you mean in terms of time. Is this a show that, since you've been here, has been sort of on a list of shows that you have always wanted to see here? How excited are you to see a production like this come to the Roadie after all your time here?
So, really funny story. I had never seen Seuss School. I've heard of it. I had never listened to any of the music. I had never seen any productions of it. Nothing at all. And I auditioned because all of my friends were auditioning. And I was like, this is a really cool excuse to like hang out with my friends. Then I got a call back and was like, oh, no, I need to learn music from a show that I've never seen. And now I absolutely love it. I love the music. I love the costumes. I love our set. I love everything about it. I think it's amazing. So I'm really excited to see it come together. And I can't wait until we open because I know it's going to be a really awesome show.
So Seussical's not a show we've ever done here before?
We did Seussical Christmas a couple years ago.
Oh, the Seussified Christmas Carol, yeah.
Yeah, but we've never, I don't think.
This production has never been done before.
No, I don't think we've ever done it here.
That's crazy because I know Seussical, I actually was watching a little Seussical documentary on YouTube and they were talking about how to this day, Seussical is the most produced show in the country, like for community theaters, high schools and stuff like that. Like every year hundreds and hundreds of theaters across the country produce it. So I'm surprised that we have never produced it here, especially since it seems so perfectly fitting for our stage. So it's a big surprise to me that it's never been. And to continue the compliment train, the Three Bird Girls have a lot of these harmonies in the show, especially they accompany Gertrude a lot. They accompany Maisie a lot. And your guys' harmonies are so perfect and beautiful. And last night we were doing a little run through at my apartment and your harmonies were buzzing my brain in the absolute best way.
They're so like stinky. That's the only way I can think of.
Yeah,
like,
stinky
like,
harmonies.
Like crunchy and stinky.
Yeah.
The harmonies were actually like really hard to learn, especially for the other two bird girls. I am lucky enough that I have all of the melody parts. So the other two are our alto and mezzo birds, and they're doing a fantastic job with how difficult these harmonies are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad you think it sounds good, Alex, because I constantly forget my note. And I'll pick it up sometimes in the middle, and then sometimes I'll try to guess, and it just sounds really, it sounds gross.
And sometimes you just sing with me.
Yeah, when in doubt, just sing with Emma. Well, I'm fine.
Last night was the first time that I really heard Jordan's bottom notes.
And they're so good.
It adds such a pretty color to the chord. It's so nice.
I'm blushing so hard right now. You guys have
you
no
can
idea.
Tell how hard Jordan has worked on those.
It's so yeah. I'm a soprano and I've never ever in my life been an alto. So having to learn the bottom notes for all of these trio parts has been like so hard and kind of the bane of my existence. But it's so rewarding because the first time that I heard the three of us sing one of those chords and it sounded like magic. And I was like, yeah. Oh, okay, this is worth it.
Yeah. And you guys, and then so in the show, there are actually two trios that have really pretty harmony parts. It's the Bird Girls and then the Wickersham Brothers, which are three monkeys in the jungle of Newell. And It's really like a neck and neck race on who has the best trio harmonies between you two.
I think it's us.
Clearly.
I think we have the better harmonies. Not to brag, but
it's always going to be us because we're just great.
I don't know. The Wickersham's harmonies are pretty good.
They're very stinky.
Maybe we need to invite them onto the podcast and then just have a trio versus trio.
Oh, are we going to do a versus on the Facebook page?
Why not?
Bird Girls versus Wickershams?
Oh my God, please.
Just a rip-off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pitch Perfect style.
You could be the ring girl.
I love that.
Pitch Perfect style.
Yeah. So, Emma, you mentioned that you have never been in Seussical. Had you seen Seussical before this? Like, what drew you to Seussical?
When I was little, my two older siblings were in the CIPAC production of Seussical. CIPAC is the summer program for KUSD Theater. And they put on fantastic shows. So that was one of the first live theater productions I had ever seen. And, you know, when we started our rehearsals for this and we started singing the music, I didn't realize how nostalgic it would make me feel. But I almost burst into tears with a couple of the songs that we were singing because it just reminds me of when I was younger and my siblings. And it's just a really fun time.
Almost burst into tears.
I don't. What are you talking about?
I seem to remember looking over at you and seeing.
No, Emma is void of emotion. So
let's. Yeah,
I don't have emotions.
Yeah, she's a robot.
We don't shame feelings here.
Alex and our JoJo started singing "Alone in the Universe," and I started bawling.
Aww.
I've been. I'm designing the sound for the show, but I haven't really been here for anything except for some overlap between the last show and this show. And I've seen you guys practicing dance numbers out in the lobby and in the stage and hearing you guys sing. And it's been really fun to hear the progress that has happened. Because, I mean, it sounded good from the beginning, but like you can obviously tell that people are getting better and better. So we've talked a lot about the music of the show and obviously the harmonies and stuff like that. What's your favorite song in the show? Whether you're in it or not, what's your favorite song?
For me, it's a toss-up between Alone in the Universe and Sala Salu. Those both make me cry, and I love a good song that'll make me cry.
Those were the two I was going to say.
That's okay.
I love a good sad song. Just cry in your car a little bit.
What's the one that the Wicker... There's one that the Wicker...
Monkey Around.
Oh, I think that one's my favorite.
Oh my gosh,
so
the
you
first
don't
time,
know the name of the songs, huh, Molly?
The first time we heard them sing that, I was so shocked at how good it sounds, which is it's like stupid for me to be shocked because we have so many talented people in our production, but it was so good, my jaw dropped.
Yeah, because I believe the first time we heard it in full was at our music review, and I looked at Katie, who was sitting next to me, and I was like, that's performance ready.
Mm. Mm-hmm. That's always a nice feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
They are very, very, very good. Each like individual one, they're so amazing.
Yeah.
And then they have their little solos. And I'm like, oh mm-hmm. my God. I love it.
Jordan, what's your favorite cut from the show?
I think my favorite song that I don't sing would be Sala Salu. But my favorite song that we do sing is Amazing Maisie.
Yeah.
Oh, the harmonies. And like that song is not easy to do at all. And now that we've got it mostly down and it sounds really good and it's just really fun to sing.
I also love our harmonies in Amazing Gertrude because that is like the one song that I had a hard time figuring out my part of the harmonies because that's like the one part where I'm not the melody. And so it was really exciting when we all got those parts and it sounds so good and I'm so excited for everybody to hear it.
Yeah.
That's for sure the lowest. Those are the lowest notes that I have to sing. And I was like, I don't know if I could do that.
For me, I think my favorite song that I sing is I really love the harmony in Notice Me, Horton. It's something between Gertrude and I, and it's such an exciting, fun harmony that I don't really get to do very often. A lot of the characters I've played have been in melodic line, so I get to do this really pretty harmony with her. I think my favorite song that I don't sing is It's Possible. I think it's so sweet. JoJo's so sweet. And then my favorite song to watch being performed is it Egg Nest and Tree Where Y'all Are Being Blown Around by the Storm? Abby is literally, it's like watching an old lady in a windstorm who's like trying not to get blown over.
That is me every day.
It's so fun to perform that one. That one, when we learned it, me and Abby were just running around the stage chaotically because Brandon just told us to pretend like we were in a windstorm and do whatever we want. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of, call them contributing Dr. Seuss books for this show. And I don't even know if I can mention them all because there's probably about 20 of them. And obviously Dr. Seuss has been around for generations. What are your favorite Dr. Seuss characters or books?
I like this Sneetches one, the one with they have stars in their tummies.
The Sneetches mm-hmm. and the other stories?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I had that one when I was little, and I would just, that's my favorite one. I don't know why. It's just so fun. And then I used to trace where the lines were because they like go into a big machine to give them stars in their tummies. And I used to just trace it in circles, like for forever. But it's just, I love that story. I don't know why. So good.
Emma?
I think the one that I checked out from the library the most was the Yertle the Turtle and Other Stories. I think that's the one that has Gertrude in it. I think that's the book that Gertrude is comes into the universe with her one feathered tail. And I do really enjoy Gertrude's story.
Abby?
I'm about to sound really sad. I don't know if I've ever, not in adulthood, read a Dr. Seuss book like as a child.
Oh,
everyone's gonna be
cute. Aww. The sad violin.
Well, I'll put that in after.
I was just so smart. I was reading chapter books.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, period.
I still haven't reached that.
But I did watch. She's illiterate. It's so hard.
She's still over there tracing the sneeches and circles on the other stage.
Level one books are hard.
But I will say, I saw the Cat in the Hat movie with like the scary Cat in the Hat in the fursuit all the time. And I loved it so much.
I love that movie. I'm not going to lie. With the Mike Myers one.
Yeah, it was my favorite movie as a kid.
It's a very bizarre movie. Mm-hmm. Not that Mike Myers did a bad job, but it's a very bizarre movie.
Yeah.
It scares me.
I love it. Jordan?
It's my favorite Dr. Seuss book is definitely Cat in the Hat, because it is so chaotic all the time, and that just so represents my life.
I think the one that I remember reading the most when I, because I was like Abby, by first grade, I was reading Goosebumps books, I was reading like... They had all these, the great American classics, but like on the one page, it would be the story, and on the other page, it would be an illustration of the story.
Sure.
So I was reading those, but I remember reading Green Eggs and Ham all the time. I loved Green Eggs and Ham. I still love Green Eggs and Ham. If you come see the show, you might see a Green Eggs and Ham reference in my paint job.
Oh, I love all the little... I don't want spoily, but I love all the little designs.
Oh, thank you.
They're so cute.
Thank you.
Did you ever make green eggs and ham?
Yes, we did with my granddad many times.
I also had green eggs and ham.
Yep. I love green eggs and ham.
I love that green.
The
green
ham
dye.
Was never green, only the eggs.
They like took a paintbrush and put it on the ham. I was like, I will be eating that, but I won't like it. Not happy about it.
That sounds toxic, like lead poisoning and stuff.
It's just food coloring.
In elementary school, we used to celebrate Dr. Seuss's birthday by making green eggs and ham, and we would have a book exchange in the hallway where everybody brought in like as many books as they wanted to donate to this exchange, and then however many you brought, you could pick out that many to take home. And that was fantastic for me and how much I read as a child. Mm-hmm.
I think Wacky Wednesday is my favorite Dr. Seuss book. I don't even know if it's a very well-known Dr. Seuss book.
I've not heard of it.
I don't know that one.
I think it was much later in his writing career, but it's literally a book filled with nonsense.
I think I've seen that one at the library that I work at.
I also remember Hop on Pop a lot.
Yes, that's another classic.
I don't know why that one sticks out to me. And the one where they're going through the alphabet.
Isn't Hop yes. on Pop also referenced in Seussical?
Mm-mm.
I don't think so.
Huh.
We could yell it.
We could.
Just in a random spot.
What if JoJo jumped on the mayor's back?
Yeah. Oh, and then Hop on Pop. Yeah. You don't have to say it just happens.
I think in Hop on Pop he jumps on his stomach, doesn't he?
He does. Yes.
That sounds like a bad day.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want somebody jumping on my back either.
Mm. They do that to me twice in the show.
Horton gets hazed.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, yeah, the Wickershams.
Yeah.
I forgot.
So there's a lot of songs in this show that get sang. I know that choreographically it's probably a very complicated show. How's the choreography and the dance numbers going? Because I know that there's like a dance core, but also... the entire cast is involved with choreography and stuff, so tell us about your experience with choreography and how hard it's been or how easy it's been.
It's fun. It like the first song is really cute. I think they're all very cute songs, but I love that the dance corps gets to do like different styles too. It's very pretty. I think they do like a ballet.
Mm-hmm. During Sala Salu.
Yeah, it's very pretty. I like we do... Oh, he reworked
Amazing Maisie.
And so the Bird Girls get a chance to like dancey dance, and it's really, it's so fun. I love to dance, and it's so fun whenever something's difficult and then you just like do it and then it gets easier. It's so
rewarding.
It's so rewarding. Mm-hmm. And I think that he did an amazing job at, because I'm not in a whole lot of dancey dance parts, but it's fun that I get to, even though I'm kind of like standing there, because I'm always like, what is going on? But the Bird Girls are dancing, and it's so fun to watch.
So you get a little dancey moment, and it is a lot of fun. And then another honorable mention for singing and also dancing is, I can't even remember, it's Horton's on trial.
Oh, the people versus Horton.
Versus Horton, the elephant, and we have a praise break, and it's so fun.
Oh, yeah.
So, Molly, you were just talking about he did a good job. So, for the benefit of the people listening who don't know, who are you referring to?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm talking about Brandon. He's the choreographer. He also did Madagascar, and that was adorbs. Yeah. I loved that.
I love my boat.
I love my boat.
We quote that all the time. Brandon, shout out to you.
I didn't get to see that. I didn't have a chance, but I even got my niece, my 4-year-old niece, to quote that at some point. It was hilarious. Yeah.
For me, like, Horton sits on a chair, a nest, for like 2/3 of the show. So I get to watch a lot of the choreography, and it's really fun, as Molly was saying, to watch the style changes as things go by. This is the most music-heavy show I've been involved in so far. It's one of those shows where 85% of the show is music, and there's just very small non-musical interstitial parts in the middle. Uh-huh. So I can't wait to see us when we start doing the run-throughs to see how it all blends into each other. Because right now we've been kind of doing like one song here and there, but they're not necessarily in order. So when we actually put them in order to see how they stitch together with the movements, I'm very excited for that.
I love when a musical like has... I feel like it's more common whenever musicals are mostly song, but like they have different themes per like scene and dance. Like they'll do like a jazz or a tap or a, and as it just goes through, I think it's so fun. And it's just, it really showcases like the talent of whoever's in it. So it's really cool to watch like all these little ladies, and they're doing their little dancey dances, and I get to see what dancy they can dance. Do. They're little dancey dances. It's so nice. It's so nice.
One element of the show that we haven't talked about yet that is probably not very well known because it's still relatively new to come back, I should say, not brand new, but you guys are also doing some daytime performances for school-age children. So can you guys talk about that and what the... you know, what the commitment is and what we're looking at for those daytime performances?
Well, I just looked up and our call time is at 7 a.m. and I was like, oh no.
Oh God, I'm actually an elephant at that time of the morning. So that'll save money on makeup and costume.
You could wear your makeup to sleep and we'll just see what happens.
You just wake up with gunk in my eyes.
Eyes are shut.
Yeah, Horton the elephant can't see.
Not today, kids. Sorry.
Yeah.
Horton's a hot mess.
Yeah. Oh,
no, and they're also shortened shows for the schools the 29th and 30th of April, so it's so close. But they're only like an hour performances, so they're not getting the full experience of the show, but they're getting all the cool bits.
I did not know that.
Surprise, Sade.
That's so exciting.
I think we're going to be doing, there is a version somewhere that is, I think it's selections version? From, no, I think we're doing like a selections from Seussical type of situation. They're getting the highlight reel of the show.
I like that.
Yeah.
And then I can go home and sleep.
And you guys are only doing the 29th and the 30th?
Yeah, but we have two shows on each day.
Mm. So the 29th and the 30th, is that a Monday and a Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
So you guys go from opening weekend to daytime, two two daytime shows on
it's
Monday.
Okay. Words are hard.
And then two daytime shows on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Man, that's rough.
Watch our mics are muted.
That's but also the experience of a lot of those kids don't get the opportunity necessarily to see theater comprehensively. So this is a great opportunity for them to sort of be immersed in it. And also, what a great show, because it's Seuss and kids love Dr. Seuss. So
I'm so excited for kids to see it. It's just, like when we did Beauty and the Beast and all the kids were like taking pictures with Belle. It's just so sweet.
I'm excited for the idea that we have of in Beauty and the Beast, for anybody who came to see that, you'll recall that we sold those light up roses. Mm. And then during the show, we made an announcement to say, at a certain point in the show, we're going to ask you to light up the roses and help create the magic. Well, for this show, we had the idea because at one point the clover gets stolen from Horton by Vlad the Vulture, who's played by Jacob, and it's pretty hilarious.
He's actually a black-bottomed eagle.
Yeah, Horton.
Excuse me, he's a vulture in Horton Hears a Who. Anyway.
But not in this, so.
Anyway.
He takes the
clover and he drops it into this gigantic clover field that's 100 miles wide. And so we're going to sell pencils that have clovers on top of them. And we're going to ask the kids at a certain point to raise the clovers, and they're going to become part of the clover field that the clover gets thrown into. And so I, as Horton, will be going up into the audience and like plucking clovers from the kids to listen, and then giving it back, and then plucking and
that's
listening.
Fun.
Yeah.
I think that's a really cute idea. I love it when kids get to be involved in the show. Mm-hmm. It makes it so much more of a fun experience for them.
Yeah, because they feel like they're part of it then, and then they feel like they have a bigger stake, and just the expressions on their faces is very rewarding.
It's like it's such a great introduction to theater for them too, because mm-hmm. you know, we're always wanting kids to get involved in theater so that we can continue the legacy of the Roadie and whatever other theaters we're in. So
yeah, because if you think about all of us as theater adults, we all had that moment in our lives. Mm-hmm. And for me, like the thing that I've always wanted out of theater is to be that moment for some kid somewhere, so that like they have that moment where they're like, wow, that's what I want to do, because somebody did that for me and it changed my life. So that's all I've ever wanted to do in theater.
These kinds of stories make me cry, so I'm like a little bit teary-eyed right now. I love when kids get excited about things and get to be involved in things. I think it's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. When you see the switch get flipped, and like you see it in their eye, like I want to be on stage, or I want to be that person, or they just become very enamored with a certain character, and then that's the person that they're seeking out after the show in the lobby and stuff. And you know, for a lot of these kids, maybe they have seen theater or whatever, but for some of these kids, maybe they don't get the opportunity, or you know, their imagination is stifled a little bit by whatever the exterior circumstances may be. So to be able to provide that escape but also let them have their imagination and stoke that fire is really, really cool. And you know, hopefully those kids also feel better about ever wanting to be involved in theater if they ever have doubts about it.
I got to see firsthand what theater can do for a child. I used to be a nanny, and I'm still very, very, very close with the family that I used to nanny for. And my oldest was, he's very sports oriented, but he and I have always shared a passion for music and things of that nature. And one day it was announced, when it was announced that we were doing Madagascar, I texted his mom and had her tell him to call me, and he called me and I said, hey, would you ever want to audition for this show? And he got really, really excited, and he was like, yeah, absolutely, oh, I'm so excited. So we worked for a while on an audition song, and then the day before the audition, he called me crying and said, Jordan, I don't want to do it anymore. And I said, okay, well, that's fine. I'll come over tomorrow and, you know, we'll talk and we'll see how you feel then. And after half an hour of talking through why he didn't want to do it, we found out that it was because he had not chosen the right song to audition with. So very, very quickly, we picked out a new Disney song, and he was so excited to go to the audition, and he got into the show, and he had so much fun during that show, and I watched his face light up every time he walked into this theater, and it was probably one of the best times of my life.
Yeah, like, I always think, too, kids that small, that's still a time in their life where magic is real to them. Like, they might as... To a small child on stage in this show, I'm an elephant. I'm not Alex. I'm not this adult person up here pretending. I'm an elephant to this child. And to be able to make, because all I've ever wanted to be was magical. And to be part, thank you. to be part of that magic, to help prolong that feeling of magic is real for a kid for a little while longer. And to be able to do that for adults too, because if you think about it, theater is just asking people to come pretend with you. And to give people a moment, 2 hours away from the real world that's full of all this chaos and negativity and awfulness, and they get to come and just forget and be like, wow, these puppets are talking. These puppets are real people. That is an elephant up there holding that flower. It's very, very cool and so weirdly rewarding.
Sorry. Me and Jordan both leading. My mom, like, was, when I first started doing shows, my mom, like, signed me up for a summer camp. She was sick of me, but but, like,
I'm sure that's not true.
That's a lot. Anyway, my mom signed me up for summer camp, and then I was like, I don't want to go, blah, blah, blah. But, and then it's just like crazy that it's like I was around such weird people, and I found my weird people, and then, like, I just, like, I did that summer camp every year, and then they also did, like, shows during the school year. So then I just, like, I've done so many shows, and I'm not sick of it, and it's so nice that it's followed me into my adulthood, because I feel like after high school, a lot of people are like, okay, and then now I'm done. Like, I can't really, like, there's no place for me to go, but it's, I'm so, like, happy that I found here, because, and I know that there's a lot of people who are doing Sioux School for the first time in our show, mm-hmm. and like, there's, like, moms, and I'm like, that's so exciting, huh. And it just makes me feel like anybody can do theater. Anybody can do it at any point in their lives, and you can find theater at any moment, and it'll be so good. And it's so nice. That's all.
One might say anything's possible.
Anything's possible? Wow.
So, as all of you are theater rats like me, I mean, it's true.
That was
One question I always like to ask people when they come on is, what is a dream role or show that you would want to do? And everyone has one, so don't be shy.
My dream role is Belle in Beauty and the Beast. Beauty and the Beast is my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah, don't you have a shrine?
I do. I have a Beauty and the Beast shrine. I recently went to an antique store and I found a Mrs. Potts music box. So it's like an actual teapot, but it has a music box attached to the bottom. It's amazing.
Oh,
I spent
cute.
Like $44 on it. It's the best $44 I've ever spent in my life.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's cute. That's
I've seen the shrine. It's intense.
That's not even all of the Beauty and the Beast stuff I own. I have more in storage.
And also not the only shrine in her house.
Yeah.
I also have a Molly shrine.
As do we all. Molly, what do you have a dream role or show?
Yeah. I want to play Adelaide from Guys and Dolls so bad. This Gertrude and Adelaide are two roles that I want to play Adelaide so bad.
Abby, how about you?
Ooh, it's a tough call. My immediate thought was Veronica from Heathers.
Mm.
But also there was another show. Oh, Jane Doe from Ride the Cyclone.
Oh, you would be so fantastic.
I love that show.
Oh, I love hearing you sing that song.
Oh, when you sing the Ballad of Jane Doe, it's so good.
Stinky.
Stinky.
Stinky and crunchy and,
yeah.
And itchy in the brain.
Filled with vitamins and minerals.
Yes.
Jordan.
Okay, so I have three. Mine is Tracy Turnblad from Hairspray, Anya from Anastasia, and Veronica from Heathers.
Honorable mention for me is also Christine Daae. I would love, love, love to be able to play her in Phantom. However, I have hit her top note exactly once in my life, so I don't think that's a realistic goal.
And was it on purpose?
I did have to text Molly, who lives on the other side of my duplex, and go, if you hear me, just like scream, I'm just trying to sing Phantom
just,
right now.
Just ignore it. I'm fine.
I'm going to turn to my roommate and be like, girl, that's just Emma. She's doing it that
way. Phantom of the Opera has me like gnawing on the bars of my enclosure.
Oh my God, yeah. Me too. I love it. And I listen to it every like winter. It's a very like Christmassy musical for me.
Sequel?
I have not. I refuse.
Oh, we're two different girlies.
I hate the idea of the sequel. The sequel.
Oh no, they have some really good songs on there.
I have heard some of the music, but the music is very good. Of course, it's Andrew Lloyd Webber, and he makes beautiful music. But the storyline is terrible.
Yeah, it's basically Phantom fan fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I didn't know there was a sequel.
Love yeah, it's called dies. Love Never Dies.
Oh, no. Sorry, Emma.
I was trying so hard to say the title. Everybody else said it.
Did it see Broadway, or was it just a...
I think it did. Was on Broadway.
It's on Broadway HD.
They did it right after the 25th anniversary of Phantom at the Royal Albert Hall.
Which was so good.
So if you watch that, you can see the choices that they made in that show are actually leading up to Love Never Dies.
Hmm. Yeah. So I like to ask, what does theater mean to you? Like, what is it about theater that keeps you coming back? What, like, is it an emotional connection? Is it something that helps you? We've asked this question of almost all of our guests, and we've always gotten really deep, beautiful answers. And they've always been really, like, individual to the person, because everybody has this like connection in their spirit as to what theater does for them. So that's what I want to know from you guys. Like, what is it about theater that is food for your soul?
I immediately jump on this question because I love this question. I growing up, I didn't have a lot of friends. Into my adulthood, I did not have a lot of friends. But I specifically here at this theater, I came here and I immediately had people that I knew would be in my corner for life. So theater for me is just having people that I can count on for anything and that can count on me for anything, and just ultimately being a part of a group and being part of a group of people that I absolutely love and adore, and I would not be who I am right now without them. So
I love that. Well, you do have friends now.
Thanks.
It's not us, but I other people you. Like no, I'm kidding.
That's so rude.
Emma, you look like you're ready.
So I am the fourth child out of five in my family, or fifth out of six, depending on how you look at it, but you know. And the three above me were always part of theater while I was growing up. And I idolized my older siblings. I wanted to be just like them my entire life. And so I obviously, the first chance I got, I started doing CIPAC. I got parts in like the school shows in elementary school. I've been a part of theater every single chance that I could, because it's something that's ingrained into my family. I also just love how creative I get to be. With my ADHD, I am constantly looking for different projects to do. So I get to work on costumes with Abby. I get to work on painting the set with Alex. I made the invention for Maurice in Beauty and the Beast when we did that, which was really fun. And of course, I get to sing and dance, and I love those things. I love, love, love being on stage and feeling important as one of the middle siblings in my family. It seems like I was always, you know, kind of put on the back burner, but when I'm on stage, I get to be important and out there, and it's so much fun. And also, I just like love all of the people that I've met here. The people at this table right now are some of my very best friends who I am so glad and so lucky to have met.
And you are so unbelievably talented, not just when it comes to your singing, your acting, but like you are an incredible painter. And not just an incredible painter, because with Avenue Q, I begrudgingly relinquished some control over design, and I let you design and paint the sandwich board that went out front to draw people in, and your sandwich board was so perfect. And you're gonna do the sandwich board for Seuss as well.
I am. And
I just know it's gonna be wonderful and incredible. So you're extremely, extremely talented, and it's so nice to have you here.
Thanks, Alex.
Yeah. Molly, Abby,
what was the question again? I'm so sorry.
What does theater mean to you?
Okay, good. I just have to hear the prompt again. I love being, I love getting to be creative about something. And I was pretty quiet and shy through like high school. And even when I was younger, I didn't really tell a lot of people that I did theater, because it was like my own little thing that I do. And I feel like I just feel more myself than I ever have been in my whole life, now that I'm at the Roadie. So it's just so nice. And count how many times I say it's just so nice.
We'll take a shot every time.
I feel more myself, and I'm around people that I feel like I'm able to be fully Molly. And it just makes me so happy that it's like a found family. And I love the creative aspect of it, because I'm growing to realize that I am more creative than I thought I was. And I get to paint. Mm-hmm. And
So nice.
It's so nice. Yeah, I love that it's like, I love the creativeness of it, and I like to collect hobbies. So, yeah, there's just so much that goes into being in a theater and helping out in a theater that it's fun to try on different hats.
Yeah, if you come into this building and you meet Molly, it'll be an experience unlike anything you've ever had in your life. She is. For context, and I tell this story every time I'm describing Molly to somebody. Molly, for her 21st birthday, threw a Shrek-themed party, and everybody was supposed to come dressed up as a Shrek character. Huh. And so we all came. I was one of the blind mice. We had a Lord Farquaad, and Molly shows up, and she's like, "Do you guys know what I am or who I am?" And we're like, "No." She's like, "I'm the swamp."
Oh my God.
To her own Shrek birthday party, she came as the swamp.
I assumed somebody else might be Fiona, so I was like, I can't be like anybody else.
Was that a troll, or no, did you like
Molly, nobody could ever be like you.
No.
You are such an individual.
I got mushroom tights for my birthday, and I wanted to wear them.
Mushroom tights?
Yeah, they have little ladybugs and mushrooms on them. And I was like, oh, I gotta somehow wear these. And then I was like, well, it could be the house. And I was like, no, I'll just be the house swamp.
Okay, so for those of you listening right now, this is 100% for real. This isn't scripted. This isn't like, this is Molly actually talking about stuff.
I own a lot of brown and green. What else am I supposed to wear?
She is currently wearing green pants.
Yeah. Abby, what is your,
please,
what does theater
Abby,
mean to
save
you?
Us.
There is no saving us right now. I'll spare you from the tragic lore, but.
No, we want the tragic lore.
My childhood was just a mess. And the only talent I really had back then was reading and singing. So I always wanted to be on like Kids Bop, Disney Channel, because I thought getting rich and famous would solve all my problems.
Didn't that we all?
Still could.
Oh, I'm still waiting. But then I got involved in theater, and it was a way to utilize my creative talents while also being on stage. But it was also the perfect hiding place for someone like me because I was bullied so much. And because I wanted to put myself out there, but I was like, oh, no, this is scary. So I hid behind characters that I portrayed on stage, and it was like my armor. So I still got to do this incredibly fun thing while not totally being myself and mm-hmm. being perceived by others. And then as I got older, particularly at the Roadie, it's incredible to be around people like Molly and Emma and Jordan. Not you, Alex. So sorry.
At two, just Abby. At two. Wow.
Just kidding. I love everyone.
Say Norty's name.
I love Alex Ebert. I say it with my whole chest.
And she still hasn't said my name. That's fine.
Norty, you're cool. Okay.
Well, that's better than not you, Alex.
No, I'm kidding. Sure. Everyone being at the Roadie, like it's. Everyone has taught me how to be a better version of myself and has inspired me to like free some of the chaos that I've just embodied my whole life. So getting on stage now, it's not like I'm hiding behind a character. It's like I'm putting more of myself into it. So I think in Blythe Spirit, it was the first time where I really like just unleashed on stage and I was completely unhinged. It made the show so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that show was so fantastic.
You got
it was
and
so fun.
Actually, everyone at this table was involved in Blythe. So I directed Blythe. Norgie designed our sound for Blythe. Jordan was our stage manager. Abby played the lead female character of Ruth Condamine. Emma was Madame Arcadi, the crazy psychic lady. And then Molly was Edith. So, and I will concur, and I was saying to you guys yesterday that through this entire season so far, Blythe Spirit has been my absolute highlight. It was the most fun I've had. And that is even more so than being Princeton and Avenue Q. Like, I loved being in Princeton, but seeing you guys having so much fun on stage and hearing the audiences laugh and seeing your little funny choices, which were getting genuine laughs out of me, even though I watched that show about 2,000 times.
Your laugh inspired me one night.
Yeah.
It broke me so hard. I was on stage fighting for my life.
Yeah. So, and I look back at like the pictures of Blythe all the time and I'm like, wow, I really wish I could capture that lightning in a bottle again, because it just felt so like fun. Jordan, you're creeping the microphone towards you.
Creep.
We're all sharing microphones, so yeah. We have to like take it away from each other. Blythe was where I met Molly and Emma and Abby. Alex I've known for ever, it seems, but Blythe was so much fun for me because I got to be backstage. Alex and Katie, who is the other director of Blythe,
is also the director of Seussical right now.
Yes, she is. They were upstairs running the boards, the sound and lighting boards, and I got to be backstage, and I listened to any of, you know, anything and everything that happened on stage and backstage, and the amount of laughter that I had to stifle on a nightly basis, like I would be back there. I have a blanket that I bring with me to most shows that I'm in, especially in the wintertime. And I call it my roadie blanket. And I had that. No, it was the Sebastian Stan one. But I had it covering my face for like more than half the show because I was trying to just not laugh out loud.
I did not.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... Oh, Molly, go ahead.
I just want to say, like, that was the first play I had ever been in, and it was so fun. Like, I've done musicals, but, like, I've never done it's just a straight play, and, that was so fun. Yeah, it was just so fun.
When you walked into the audition, I remember Katie and I looking at each other, and at the exact same time, we went, Edith.
I know, and I had never read Blythe before, and... I just put random characters on the sheet because I was like, I don't actually know what I want, but I know that I want to, because I almost did an audition. I couldn't find a monologue, and I was like, nah, I'm not even going to go. and then I like was speeding, and then I ran up the stairs, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm sorry, I'm late. But
which ended up being perfect for the character.
I know, I didn't even mean to do that. But it was, oh God, it was just such a fun role.
Yeah.
So fun. So
nice.
So nice.
This episode's title is So Nice.
It's just so nice.
So nice.
Yeah. We would all look at each other, especially the three other ladies that are sitting at this table with me. We would just kind of look at each other backstage and just burst into silent bouts of laughter for like a long time, like yeah. Too long.
I had to separate myself because I was like, I can't. All I have is the giggles. I constantly have the giggles.
Oh my gosh, there was that one night where I felt like I was dying. I was so sick, and I forgot.
So good.
I forgot like a whole page and a half of lines,
yeah.
And so we got to part of the scene too early, and I ran back to the back of the stage, and I looked at two of the other cast members, and I went, I have no idea what's going on right now.
You still held it together really well, and you all really like helped carry because
thank you guys so much.
You guys, and that's one thing that's really cool about the roadie is we have such an amazing talent pool here where it's like if one of us has a moment where we falter on stage, we can trust that the people that are on stage with us are going to be able to pick up those crumbs and get us back on track. If one of us, like Emma, is literally having the bubonic plague on stage and expiring before our eyes.
Oh my God, I thought I was going to pass out on stage. It was terrifying.
She was waiting to come in at one point and just looked like a ghost.
Yeah, she looked bad.
Like a corpse on a bike.
The speed in which she left after that show.
Oh my God.
She did bows.
As soon as bows were over, everybody else was going out into the lobby, and I was like, no, I'm going upstairs and changing and leaving.
The next day, I thought I was going to have to put garage door mascara on and a turban and be Madame Arcadi and read from the book.
I remember that, and it made me laugh a whole lot.
Yeah. But that's one of the many things that I love about the roadie is like the people that are here are so dedicated and they're so talented and everybody finds that little spot for themselves. And people like Molly, I know that you paint and you do like calligraphy and stuff, but you've been helping out with other aspects of painting that you previously would have said, I can't do that. And now you're doing it. And it's really, really nice. And everybody has been stepping up.
It's so nice.
So nice. Yeah. It's just really wonderful. So I think we're getting pretty good, close to the end of the episode. Is there anything else that you guys want to say specifically about Seussical? Norgy, is there anything else you wanted to bring up or say?
No, I just, it's nice to have the opportunity for people involved in a show that maybe don't get... to talk about the show sort of in this way, to be on here and give the listening audience an opportunity to meet them a little more in depth. So I'm always for conversations like this because theater is important to theater people, obviously, but I think sometimes that gets lost on the you know, the normal audience, that it's really something that is important to the people involved. And these are the people that are here doing all of the hard work and labor of love and stuff. So this is a good way to really sort of get into the psyche of someone who's involved in the show, and also why it's important to them, and why it might seem like someone who's on stage is really, really into what they're doing, because it's a lot of fun. It's very rewarding, and there's a very, very diverse and talented cast here for Seussical, which, by the way, Seussical opens on Friday the 26th and runs for 2 weekends.
That's April 26th.
Sorry. Yes, I should have said April. Friday, April 26th, 7:30. And then it closes on Sunday, May 5th, with a matinee. And tickets are available by going to rhodecenter.org. That's R-H-O-D-E center.org. And then these guys have daytime performances for kids in the midst of the run. So lots of hard work is going into the run of the show, but also the sets, the colors of painting the set, the costumes that Abby's working on, the music direction from Brian Chung, the choreography from Brandon Torres, the direction from Katie Gordon. So there's a lot that goes into this production, and this is just one small facet of all of it. But thank you all for joining us, Abby, Jordan, Emma, Molly.
Yeah, thank you all.
It's been...
Thank you so much. This is so exciting.
it's so nice.
It's so nice.
Oh,
it's so nice.
It's so nice.
It's going to be like
Jordan,
a tick mouth.
Jordan, do you want to say it?
It's so nice.
All right. Until next time, everyone, thank you for joining us here on the Roadie Roundtable podcast.
Yeah, thanks. On behalf of Lakeside Players, this has been Norgie and Alex and the Roadie Roundtable. See you next time.
Bye.